Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. All right. Good evening, our Chaos Blog Talk Radio family. We greet you in the name of Jesus on tonight. He who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We would like to welcome you once again here at Praise Tabernacle Church, Tuesday night Bible study. And I trust that you have been enjoying our leadership staff over these past few months. And we would just like to thank God for you once again for tuning in on tonight. God bless all of you, the members of Praise Tabernacle, our distinguished guests, those friends that are tuning in tonight. We also like to thank Elder Derek Oliver and Lady Keisha Oliver for allowing us this opportunity. We were so blessed by their ministry on last night. We tuned in. They had such a great discussion, a great Bible study on last night, and we just thank God for putting us in their path and joining us, linking us together. Tonight we have, as always, we got our Elder Victor Bluett. He is our Sunday school superintendent, very great Bible teacher, Bible scholar. He's going to be leading us in our Bible study on tonight. We also have our Elders Council president on. That's Elder Richard Taylor. I think my precious wife is on tonight, Lady Zachary. We are missing Evangelist Stanton. She may tune in a little later, and Deacon Stanton. But we're here, and we're just so grateful that the Lord has awarded us another great opportunity to fellowship and discuss Bible. Amen. We know that everything is going down but the Word of God. We want to encourage you on tonight to continue to seek God in these trying times. Continue to follow God. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. But without further ado, I'm so excited about the Bible study. Once again on tonight, we're going to say a quick prayer. And then the next voice you will hear will be our very own brother, Elder Bluett, Elder Victor Bluett Sr. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again for this Tuesday night Bible study. And we pray now as we come before you and before your people that we know the word will accomplish for what reason you've sent it out. We know that it won't return to your void. We ask that you anoint the message, the teacher on tonight, and the message, the actual message that he's going to be bringing forth, and give us the wisdom and knowledge and the revelation on what needs to be said to be a blessing to your people on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Elder Bluett, go ahead.
Amen. Thank you for that. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's Bible study. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for the platform. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, for joining. Before we get started, I do have a praise that I've been riding all day today. My youngest daughter, who we've been praying for 2.5 months, along with my church family. She was in the hospital for 2.5 months, and she was finally released today. And we have her at home with us now.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
I thank God. I thank God for the fervent prayer. I thank God for stability. I was a broken father. All I could do was pray and visit her.
Yes,
my wife stayed 24/7 with her 2.5 months. As a father, we want to be able to put our hands on things to fix them for our kids, and I could not do that. So
yes,
I was broken, and it humbled me to have to depend on God.
Yes, sir.
You know, things happen to other families. We say a prayer, we keep it moving. But when it comes home,
right,
it is tested. And I want to thank God for his strength doing it all. So, again, she's home now. She's about 95%. We're working with her to get back to 100%. So, still believing in God to keep on doing what he's doing. So, tonight we'll be coming out of the book of the Thessalonians. Thessalonians chapter 3. Thessalonians chapter 3. I love this scripture. I love this passage. It shows us how ministry is, how the ministerial staff should be, how we should be always dependent on the gospel of God, how we should have faith in one another to do our own works, to bring all works together as a body. I thank God for this passage. Thessalonians chapter 3. Boy, I want to do an intro into it, though, out of chapter 2. An intro out of this in chapter 2, starting at verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. Just an intro into our scripture tonight. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ? For ye are our glory and joy. And before we start, I'll tell you this, just reading that, is that any leader, anybody that God has ordained to preach the gospel or to care for people, should have this in their heart. It should be a joy for us to see others in the faith doing good and fighting a good fight against the entanglements and the wars and what's going on in life, and especially now where we have so much information coming at us, we don't know what to believe. But one thing you can believe in is Jesus Christ and your brothers and sisters who will help you that believe also. So this is Paul.
Yes, sir.
And he wrote this because he had just left to go through Berea, where the Bereans were, into Athens. So Paul and his ministerial staff is in Athens right now. So let's start at verse 1 of Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, meaning him and Silanus and his ministerial staff, to be left alone. When they could no longer forbear, they could no longer take it, thinking of the Thessalonian church that Paul had started. And this is Paul speaking. he couldn't stand it, and he wanted to know about their faith. He wanted to know if they were still standing strong in God. Because if you read earlier chapter 2, chapter 1, it'll explain the things that Paul and his crew were going through along with the Thessalonians of being prosecuted and going through tribulations from Gentiles or the Jews who did not believe in the faith of God alone. So they had went through the struggle forming the church and trying to be hindered by those on the outside who didn't believe. So they went through it together at the beginning of the church when he started over in the books of Acts. So, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, when we just couldn't stand it no more, we thought about you. We think about you night and day, but we could not stand it to not knowing that you're good. And that's how we ought to feel when we're taking care of people, when we set somebody up, when we get them in a position to be stable and we leave. We ought to be thinking of them enough to go check on them. And especially now, the situation we have now for what's going on with this pandemic and COVID-19 and whatever else is going on, we ought to check on one another. Pick up the phone, text, whatever way you can to get through to somebody and check on somebody. I got a couple of folks I check on. My wife got a few folks she check on. And it's genuine. It's not to gain anything, but to give something if we can, monetary, ourselves, or whatever, just to make sure
right.
people are good. So this thing was bugging Paul. He had to know. He had to know if they were still standing in the faith from the gospel he preached where they got saved. So, Thessalonians 3, chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Now, it would be good. And I'm talking about the head of the church now. It would be good if you had a pastor, and I'm not talking about our pastor because he's in this position right here. He's good to go. But it would be good if you had a pastor or a leader of that church that can depend on other men or women on the staff to go
yes.
and check on to trust
yes.
them to do it. See, Timotheus had a chance, and they don't say that he does, but we know how we work. He had a chance to start his own church or take over that church going, you know what I mean? So
yes.
it would be good if we had strong men and strong women that can do the work. A pastor cannot
right.
be everywhere at all times. He needs
right.
a ministerial staff. He needs help. He needs
yes.
people he can depend on. He needs people that he know are in the faith. He needs people that know is not going to take advantage of the congregation, take advantage of people, take advantage of situations. But when a person hurts, it's easy to take advantage of them. They're in a vulnerable state. But
right,
we're going to
right.
hear the report in a minute. We'll hear the report of Timothy in a minute. So verse 2 of chapter 3 of Thessalonians. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in gospel of Christ to establish. Now what he does, see now the Thessalonians are familiar with Timothy. They're familiar with him. But what Paul is doing is giving his credentials. And it's good if a pastor can give of the credentials of a preacher, another preacher, the credentials
yes,
of somebody that's helping him in the ministry, and not be scared
right.
if that person takes his own ministry or do better than
right.
him in the ministry. The thing is, what God gave you is for you. And if we use
right.
all the things that God has given us individually and put them together, we got a great body.
Yes.
We got a great body.
That's right.
We got
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Timotheus, short by Timothy, I used to call our pastor Young Timothy about 11 years ago when we first started, but he has grown out of that. He's a young Paul now. He's a young Paul. Bringing the word of God.
Paul.
Bringing truth to Timothy was one of the first ordained bishops. He was one of the first ordained under Paul. So, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, meaning to strengthen you and to comfort you, take care of your needs, comfort you in knowing that the scripture that the gospel that Paul preached is true, to comfort you in concerning your faith, your walk, your stability. And Paul knew all too well, and I'm sure his staff knew all too well of what they were going through, what they were going through from the Jews trying to teach them about the Mosaic law.
Right.
So Paul knew what he was doing by sending Timothy to go check on them, see if they're still standing in the faith against all obstacles in the way, in the faith that God gave Paul to preach to them, still standing in the faith of Jesus Christ, no matter what the situation in your life is. And we go through some things. I went through some things with my daughter. And to stand on the word of God and when things are over and you still stand, it's a personal comfort. It's a personal lifting. It's a personal, it's a renewed belief. We can say we believe it all. We can say that we have all belief. We can say that we just that and the other. But go through something.
Yeah.
And if you're right. Standing in the faith on the other side of it.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got anything before we go any further?
I'm enjoying you, bro.
That's good. Yeah. I agree.
All right. All right. All right. And send Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul had taught them. Paul had said unto them, it's going to be some things you're going to have to go through. And in the previous two chapters, they seen Paul and his ministerial staff go through it, trying to establish this church in Thessalonica. They seen it firsthand. And the congregation of the church and Paul and went through it together. I know growing up, I used to, you know, we used to have a lot of fist fights. We used to have a lot of arguments. We used to play ball in the street. We used to, with all the kids on the block. And we would go this through this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, we were still hugging one another as kids. And we built a bond. And it's nothing like in the ministerial, on the ministerial staff or leaders in the church to build a bond, build a brotherhood. And Paul addressed some of his letters that I beseech brothers, meaning it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something about having a strong brother on your side that you can talk to about anything.
Right.
You don't get that. You don't get that a lot.
That's right. That's
you don't get it a lot. And see, within unbelievers, you have friendship and you can trust one another. But when you have that on the other side of believing in Jesus Christ and you find a brother that you can confide in, that you can cry on their shoulder, that you can laugh on their shoulder, that you can exhort one another, comfort one another, take care of one another, that's something else. That's something else, you know.
Amen.
So we all have a measure of faith. And our measure of faith is sometimes stronger than one another. But if you put those two faiths together, So verse 3 of Thessalonians 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. We should stand on the word of God. We got a perfect example of Jesus standing on the word of God when he was threatened or enticed by the devil. He stood on the word of God. And the thing about Paul is what he preached was the truth. What he preached was the truth. And I think it's over in Galatians where he had to certify himself that he did not get the word from man, that he was
right,
taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ himself.
That's
see?
Right.
So Paul speaking the truth, and most times he had to defend the truth when the Judaizers would come in and try to you know, convert people back over into the Mosaic law or obeying the laws of the Old Testament, you had to have that, and you can have that to believe and have faith. You couldn't have both. So Paul is real strong on telling the truth about Jesus Christ, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. We should stand fast in the word of God, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We're going to go through some trials and tribulations. We're going to have some things happen in our life that we might not even understand when it first happens. You know, so just think about a person who's in Jesus Christ. We're going to take a break here just 1 second, Oliver. Just think about somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ and those who might even think about committing suicide that can't stand on nothing because they have no foundation. See? We know that we're going to go through when the situation happens. We know that we're going to go through. The key word is through when situations happen and come out on the other side still standing in faith. So we're going to take a short break. Just a few seconds, and we'll come back in verse 4. Thank you.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless.
Yeah!
Amen. Amen. We're back. We're back. We're back. We are back. We're in First Thessalonians chapter 3. We left off at verse 3. Did you want to add anything, Pastor Elder Taylor, before we get started again?
Doc, you're doing I am so encouraged by it. It seems like time is running so fast tonight. But one point I'd just like to piggyback on you concerning the leadership and Paul not being afraid to allow Timothy to succeed. And because a lot of times, especially in church, a lot of things you don't know until you go through. You know, you can be taught it and things like that, but until you get an experience of it, it in a lot of cases it is not real until you have to. And I think you were just saying about your daughter, go through other things and you see other people go through it, but when it becomes real, when you have to go through it. And I believe it is very important for pastors to, if you don't have no one around that you can trust with the ministry, pray that God sends you people that you can trust, with the ministry. So often pastors, feel like they, and sometimes it is because of what has happened, with previous people that come in to claim to be this, that, or the other, and they may end up causing a lot of confusion in the church. And that's understandable. We've experienced that. But also, just pray that God will send you help that, when God forbid you get sick or just you sometimes just may need some rest and relaxation. And it's a heavy burden to feel that you can't be away from the church. You can't send someone else to do the work. You got to be there, every service. You got to be there with go visit everybody, and you will wear yourself out because you're trying to be everything to everybody. But we see right here that Paul, he didn't mind delegating. There's numerous instances in the scriptures where Paul would send this one or send that one or try to reconnect this brother and that brother just to help build, because every leader, you're only as great as your legacy. You know, who are you training others that when you are off the scene or you can't perform your pastoral duties, are you training others that, you know, when you can't do it, the church will roll on. You know, the church will still be able to flourish. You know, the people will still feel, when they come to church, feel that they have felt the power and the presence of God. Oftentimes, when that pastor is not there, man, it'll change from a party to a funeral. You know, it'll go from a celebration to to like death or whatever, because people they're so used to only hearing one voice, and that's that pastor. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we get built, our faith gets so much in that pastor, and that when the pastor is off the scene, we lose faith in God. And God,
yes,
you know,
sir,
that should never be that. I don't care who the pastor is. You know, my father was a pastor, and, you know, from whatever happened, I didn't lose my focus on God, even in his death. You know, so let's be mindful. I thank God that God has blessed me with strong men. I don't have no yes men around. I mean, we've had discussions, we've disagreed, but we always honor each other as men. And you know, I'm just grateful that I can not be at church on Sunday morning. It's happened several times, and the word still goes as if I'm there. So I'm grateful that you're teaching this on tonight, Elder Blewett, because it's, you know, it's just reestablishing that what we try to do at Praise Tabernacle is following the scriptures on, you know, trusting others, building up others' faith, you know, and encouraging them. So thank you so much for this teaching on tonight, Doc.
Yes, sir. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we go to verse 3 and go right into 4, verse 4. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. In fact, we need to be steadfast in the faith, no matter what's going on around us. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. It's coming. It's going to happen in our walk. So verse 4, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. So they went through the actual experience of troublers outside of the church trying to infiltrate the church to change the mindset of newborn Christians. God, I'm going to tell you something about that. God is the event of that. God, oh man, if you want to set God off and you want to know God for who he really, really is, you start messing with somebody that said, I believe in the word and Jesus. You start messing with a baby Christ, that's just learning about God, walking in a new faith, walking in new doctrine, trying to be humble and at the same time so happy inside that they've been filled with the Holy Ghost and burning inside to want to tell somebody else about it. You start messing with a person like that and watch God remove
you
out of the way. If not, might lay you down forever.
Yes,
but
sir.
Be careful. Paul told them that tribulation was coming. Paul showed them that it was coming, that when him and his ministerial staff went through it, they all went through it together with the congregation of this newborn church that he created over in the book of Acts on one of his missionary journeys. So for this cause, in verse 5, when I could no longer forbear, when I just couldn't stand it to know how you're doing, when I could no longer stand it to know if you're still standing in the gospel, not in Paul's gospel, but God's gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you still standing in spite of your situation? It ain't going to always be good. It ain't going to always be bad. But one thing that's going to hold you sure is the word of God. Are you still standing?
Yes.
Paul said, for this cause, I could no longer forbear. And as a pastor, a preacher, a caretaker, somebody that takes care of people, you ought to have genuine love for one another, genuine love for the person you're caring for. A pastor has a precious tender care. He has to have it.
That's right.
I don't care what on. Once he preached the word, the true gospel, and people turn their lives over to Christ, their welfare belongs to that pastor.
That's right.
He is the one that builds them, teaches them, encourages them, comforts them, and keep them on the path. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
No, come on with it, bro.
Paul has his genuine care in him. He has his genuine care in him. For this cause in verse 5, when I could no longer forbear, when I could stand it, to not know how you are actually doing, I sent to know your faith, at least by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain. That ought to be one of the things that a pastor or a leader, I don't care if it's at work, and like Pastor just said, you ought to be able to build people. Your greatest legacy ought to be that you built leaders. It ought to be that you built somebody up that can take your place if that has to happen. See, somebody
right.
that could even be better. See, I don't care if it's at work.
Right.
I don't care if it's in church. I don't care where it is in your life. If you got people under you or around you, you ought to be in a position. You ought to put yourself in a position to make them better.
Yes.
You ought to make them better. So Paul was concerned about the tempter, Satan himself, meaning the Jews that were coming in trying to teach them something different, a gospel which was not a gospel. We know there's only one gospel, but they were trying to teach a forbidden gospel or a hidden gospel. Oh, you got to do this, that, or the other to be saved. You got to say Jesus 200 times. You got to spin around. You got to do this, that. Oh, man. The man on the cross didn't have to do nothing. He can't do none of that. So that makes all that a lie.
That's right. Right.
Hey, would you be in paradise and that man was saved once he confessed his fault that he was wrong with his partner? We was wrong. For this cause, in verse 5, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, least by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. And you know, the one thing a pastor or a leader don't want to see is that their teachings are what they have are teaching people under.
Right.
If we know.
Right.
Now, here's a question. If we knew ahead of time that you was going to fall off from the faith, would we start with you? Would we even tell you the truth of the gospel if we know that you fall off? I'm sure it has run across some pastors' minds, some leaders' minds. You know, well, they ain't going to do this, they ain't going to do that. But see, it ain't for us.
Yeah.
We can't see the heart what it's going to do. It ain't for us to think you're going to do this, that, or the other. It's our job is to preach the gospel.
Yeah. Right, because the blood is off your hands.
Yeah, let God take care of you. Mm-hmm. See, it might be some. It might seem to us that you did fall off, but see, God. It's up to God for us to allow everything to happen in our lives. Some people may have to fall off to get back up the right way. See, sometimes we got to go through trials and tribulations to know we got a sure footing in the Word of God. So Paul was concerned. If they were tempted, or if the labor that they had put in, the preaching that they had put in, the care that they had put in, the tribulations they went through together, all the things that happened to them together, he wanted to know if it was in vain.
Mm-hmm.
See? So verse 6 of 3 Thessalonians 3:6. But now when Timotheus, now here comes the good news, Timothy returns. He didn't go there to start his own church. He didn't go there to start no trouble. He came back with what Paul asked for him to do. See? And sometimes you got grown men don't want no other grown men to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
See? That's how some ministerial staff don't last. That's how you find out which one or two ain't for you on your staff.
That's
Tell
right.
Tell them to go do something.
Right.
bring back a report. See? And don't add your own words. Just give the report. So verse 6, well, now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings, see, of your faith and charity, of your faith, and that charity means love, and that ye have remembrance of us always. And that's one of the things a pastor wants to hear. You know, he wants to hear that one day he preached a good word that helped your soul, that helped you get on your way that day, that helped you throughout that year, that month. That he wants to hear that. He needs feedback.
Right.
Yeah, he's laboring. He's doing what God told him, but on the backside, let him know he got to you. Let him know preached a good word. Let him know that he taught a good word. Let him know that he cared for you in the right way versus somebody else that did you wrong. Let him know he's doing a great job. Encourage your pastor. Encourage your leaders. We're all flesh. Sometimes we're not seeking, not looking for a pat on the back, but sometimes we need a hug.
Right.
That's right.
Sometimes we need, but when you get that as a pastor, Ollie, when you get that, don't let that flesh give any glory for it, but you give God all the glory for it.
That's right.
Don't get lifted up. Elder Taylor, you got anything, sir?
No, I just, you know, as I listen to you, Elder Bluett, it's very encouraging. I remember going to a church before I came to Praise Tabernacle. We had visited church, and the pastor in that church, he said that he was going to be the only one preaching in that church. Nobody else is coming in that church to preach. He ain't doing. He is going to be, and if he ain't preaching that Sunday, ain't nobody preaching that Sunday. I was like, whoa, Jesus. I said,
wow.
This ain't the place for me. This is not the place for me. So, and that was about the second or third time that we had visited the place. And that was the last time that we had went to that place. And so these scriptures, in which the saying just reminded me of that, how he was the kind of man, unlike our pastor, where he kept everything close to the vest, where he didn't allow anyone to help him enhance the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Paul was doing with his ministerial staff. He was allowing people to help him enhance the ministry, help him to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's good, man. It's you know, and I don't know how many times I've read the scripture, but it's always good to get a new light on it. And
that's
what you bring in tonight is a different light on what Paul was trying to find out what was going on with the people in Thessalonians. Because he missed them.
Amen.
And he wanted to see how they were doing. You know, and when Timothy came back with a word, an encouraging word for Paul, because it encourages the pastor when he knows that the people are steadfast and unmovable in the things that he has shared the gospel with. It's encouraging.
Yes, sir.
You know, and it encourages us when we know that the pastor's encouraged. And it just bounces back and forth off of each other, you know, as we all continue to grow and move in the things of God. So, man, good. I love this word tonight, man. Good word, good word, good word.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I have seen many times, and I've watched from afar how our pastor handles situations, and just wonder how he get through it, man. So. Be a pastor is nothing somebody should have begged for, I promise you. But if you are set in a position, but you got to go through.
Yeah.
All right, so verse 7, Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 7. We'll read 6 and go right into 7. We only got to go after this. But now when Timotheus came unto you, but when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, meaning your faith and love, good tidings of your steadfastness, good tidings of you still staying in the faith regardless of the tribulations mm-hmm. and the things that you're going through, and your charity, which is your love, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Now this is Paul talking, and I'm sure he's just happy right now. I'm sure he's just feeling better right now. Because tell the truth, over in Athens where they're at right now, they're going through. Right? They're going through right now in Athens. But this is a good word for Paul. See, you could be going through, and somebody can just bring you a good word you was thinking about while you're going through. And that's God just laying it on God just laying it on you to keep you straight, to keep you going whatever you're going through. So, yeah, therefore, verse 7, therefore, brethren, calling them brethren like we should do now, brethren, that's personal.
Right, right.
That's togetherness. That's not strangers
unity.
Talking. That's, I know
right.
you. Therefore,
right.
brethren,
unity.
We were, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. Because Paul them going through right now. But a good word, a good word can help somebody.
Yes, Lord.
A good
yes,
word.
Yes.
Yes. A good word to always help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
A good word helps somebody.
Amen.
Somebody. And I don't know who mentioned it, if I heard it on our broadcast or if I was talking with somebody else, but somebody said, when God lays a person on your heart, and you may not even talk to them in a year or two or one day or whatever, God lays something on your heart for somebody, give them a call. Give them a call.
That's right.
And a lot of folk call it deja vu. They call it this, that, and the other. I just call it God just telling you to call. Speak to somebody.
Yes, sir.
Get with somebody. Care of somebody. See how they doing. Especially now.
Right.
See how they doing. Are we all, is everybody even in our own church still standing in the faith?
Right.
Right. That's a
we
good
know.
Question.
Do we know?
That's
do we know?
Question.
We don't know.
We don't know. Yeah, you're right.
I'm serious. Oh, and that's just our church.
Right.
Yeah.
Think around the world. How many people may have needed to go to church because they
right.
have not personally set up a relationship with God yet, that needed to go to church to hear the word of God, that needed to assemble themselves together for a little encouragement, that needed to see other
right.
faces that were smiling when they may be frowning.
Right.
So God, get on your heart to think about Timothy or think about John or to think about whoever your friends are or a stranger is. Give them a call. You never
right.
know how much you can bring that brother or sister back to the faith if they have fallen off. Or
amen.
To encourage them
yeah.
in the word of God. Do that now.
Can I add something, Elder Blewett?
Yes, sir.
Because this is a perfect time or perfect situation what's going on in the world today for the enemy to just run rampant, and not just with the world, but with the body of Christ. And people that was already kind of wavering, you know, if I want to be in, if I want to be out, you know, and being in a situation like we are in the world today, and you being a believer, a Christian, a man and woman of God, this really takes discipline and focus
right.
to stay on course. Because it's so
yep.
easy to get tempted to fall off because, you know, you're not around everybody like you used to be. It's hard for you to, you know, people to account for each other the way we could
right.
in fellowship, the way we was in fellowship
yeah.
more. So
right.
it's easier. And Paul is, you know, is kind of checking, making sure that they hadn't fell off, you know, like what we're doing tonight. you know, like you said, Elder Blue, have we called, have we checked on people? Because it's so easy, because if you're not strong in your faith, it's so easy right now to fall off, to fall back, to be lazy, and not do the things that you was normally doing when you was in fellowship every week,
mm-hmm.
every Tuesday,
that's good.
Every Sunday, you know. So it's easier, you know, to fall back. And if we ain't checking on people, we don't know, you know, like you said, we don't know people that in our own church. We don't know who done fell off,
right.
who done fell back, you know, right now, because we haven't been together. You
right.
know, so
yes,
I just
sir.
Wanted to add that little nugget in there.
Yeah.
That's good.
Go through Galatians on what you were just saying, how Paul always tried to mm-hmm. keep people encouraged. And whatever's and so going back to what you said also, you know, it's and we say this all the time now about social media and all the avenues of information passing, how things mm-hmm. and even executives in these businesses that are advertising their company for whatever they sell, and they're using a lot of sex, a lot of wrong
mm-hmm.
ways of trying to push things. See, what the devil does is try to just get your attention.
Right.
And that's what advertising
yeah.
try to get your attention.
That's right.
Get mm-hmm. your attention to what they're selling. We got so much going on right now. We got so much information in the air that's at a fingertip.
Right.
Our phones are our computers now where we can just get anything that our mind is set to do. We have to
yes.
be careful
yeah.
and just give the folk a call. Sometimes they can just
right.
hear your voice. Where you just, hey, how
right.
you doing? I was just checking, bro. You doing all right? And then your voice
yep.
may be able to bring them back
mm-hmm.
if they were swaying, if they were going off the other side.
Right.
And you know, so,
right.
But see, it got to be somebody they have trusted before.
Right.
Right. Right.
See?
Right.
A good staff comes in at.
Right.
A staff. Have been that could be trusted before issues of pandemic came.
Right.
A staff that was always truthful before a pandemic mm-hmm. came.
Yeah.
And
that's
so you'll
good.
Know it was ever trusted when you do make a phone call to one of the saints.
mm-hmm.
You'll know
right.
if you was ever if you make a phone call to one of the saints. And you don't have to be a leader to make a phone call to check on somebody.
That's right.
That other
That's
person
right.
you're talking to, that you know if you was trusted in
right.
the first place.
Right.
See?
That accountability to each other.
Accountability. So let's mm-hmm. get back into where Elder Taylor got us off our teachings tonight. right? Right? And I'm going right back.
I'm sorry, Rabbi. I'm sorry, Rabbi. Please
yeah.
forgive me, sir.
Repent three times and turn around. All right. So we'll do verse 7 going to 8. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're at verse 7 going in right into 8. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. We were comforted that you were standing in the faith still. We were comforted that you were mm-hmm. still doing the right thing. We were confident that you're listening to the broadcast and you're still giving offerings in faith to God. We're confident that you are still reading your word. We're confident that you're still in your Sunday school lesson. We're confident and still that you're still doing your missionary journeys that you were doing to begin with. We're confident and we're good that your faith is strong. We're confident. We feel
mm.
better now. I know I'm going through, but you're all right and you make me better. That's the assembly of saints. That's what you get out of people who are saved, to encourage one another, to lift one another, exhort one another, to keep people on the road, keep people on the right track, on the right street, to keep people believing in Jesus Christ. Everybody's not going to be able to hang in there on their own. So I want to put this out today or starting tomorrow. Just call some folks. Just call others we haven't called and see how they're
right.
doing.
Yeah.
See if they need something. I know
mm-hmm.
how it feels for them. I know how it feels to want. I had all, when I used to be a drug dealer, I used to have all I wanted. And then I broke off from that and went dead broke. Then I joined the Army and didn't get paid for 2 or 3 years. I know what it means to not have. So I know what it means that when you help, see, you might just get a handshake back, thank you, brother. But when they go home, they could be dancing around their house.
Right.
Now they got a week. Now they got gas for a week. So reach out to these saints. Yeah. Reach out to people starting today or starting tomorrow. Reach out to them. Like Paul reached out to the Thessalonians by personally sending one of his ministers to go check on them. And the minister had now come back with a great word of encouragement for Paul, who's being afflicted at this time.
Yep.
Therefore, brother 7, we are comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. See, I can live through this now. I'm afflicted.
Right.
I'm going through. But this word of encouragement keeps me to live. Teach me wanting to live.
Mm-hmm.
Live right by the word of God. Live in the faith. Live in Jesus Christ. Live in his word, his gospel. To stay faithful, you have encouraged me. Call your pastors sometime. See how they doing.
Right.
Call your how they doing. Call your, we used to say first ladies, but call their wives. Ladies, call the wives. See how they doing.
Yep.
See how they doing.
Right.
You people tend to think that, oh, well, he just the pastor, or he just the elder, or he just, they doing all right. Not, yeah, hey.
Right. Right.
Call them. Encourage them to keep doing what they're doing. Call them. Call one another. You don't have to be leadership.
Right.
Call one another. Check on one another.
Amen.
See how you doing. So verse 9, what for Paul, and he's in it right now. He's so happy right now, even going through in verse 9. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. So see, he's giving God the thanks.
Mm-hmm.
For the saints. And that they're still standing. And don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted about a leader or a pastor having the ability to make somebody do right.
Yep.
He can encourage them with the word. He can exhort them with the word. He can even discipline them with the word. But he cannot he cannot have them to conduct themselves to live right. It's up to God to have that person do what's right by what? The spirit he places in them, spirit he places in us that gives us the strength to walk by faith and not by sight.
All right.
That's our help. It's not your pastor, but it's the word of God that you believed, and God gave you strength to continue to believe it through the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
And it's your pastor to encourage you to keep walking that line, to keep walking straight, to keep standing straight. See?
Amen.
See? We'll go one more verse, and I want y'all to chime in. We'll go one more verse, and I want you and Elder Taylor to chime in. All right, so we go verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And Paul is, okay, you're doing great. You're doing all right. You're still standing on the word of God. You're still standing in faith. But I want to still teach you some more. See?
Right.
These are new babies in Christ, the Thessalonian church that was just started over in the book of Acts. So I still want to teach you more. I still want to teach more. I want to get you out of the baby shoes and the beard. I want to teach you to dress yourself now in the word of God. I want to teach you how to break down this word of God. I want to teach you how to apply this 2,000-year-old book to your life right now. I want to do that for you. I want to help you in your faith to go a little bit further. See?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit further. And we can only go a little bit further at a time. We can't jump to the end, but But as we go, we should grow strong in the word of God. As we grow, we should get better. As we grow, our faith should be enlarged. As we grow, we should have that faith that started out as a mustard seed, but within our faith, the faith that is in us is larger than whatever we can see. Pastor, you got anything, sir?
Brother, you're going to make folks think we paying you for this type teaching, man. You have really distinguished and brought out the heart of leaders, God-sent leaders. When Scripture says, I give you pastors after mine own heart, and Paul exemplified this in an excellent way of wanting to nurture, you know, nurture and care and protect. Because there's many scriptures that Paul, you know, warns about. even you've already talked about that too. Even warning about those that come in to teach another gospel. So this is really, you know, if you have a good pastor, you have a good leadership team, you know, a good staff that, you know, you can really count on. Man, that it's a great thing to have people that you know are in it and are motivated by souls being changed, you know, lives being changed, souls being saved. Because anytime we forget that it's about the souls, then we are preaching another gospel. Anytime you're looking at how many members, you know, Doc, I got 1,000 folk over here. We got this size building, or we got this size, this, that, and the other. And when we lose the focus on, you could have 1,000 people in your church, but how many are living the gospel? How many are actually living what's being taught, what the word says? Give me 25 members that are living right, that we are changing our community, we're doing what we're supposed to do. You know, no doubt the church at Thessalonica, no doubt it wasn't a big church. You know, they weren't a big church, but as our motto is, small church but a huge ministry. You know, so your ministry is what goes on outside of the four walls. Who are you affecting? What lives are you changing? Are families being brought back together? Are the husbands being challenged to stay at home and be that man in the house? Are the wives being challenged to be that virtuous woman, the one that her children call her blessed, and her husband, you know, acknowledges and thank God for her? So tonight is really just sticking out to me is about the leadership and doing what's right, keeping the people, the souls, keep that your main focus. Okay, your main focus.
Yes,
so
sir.
I appreciate you teaching this tonight, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, you got about 10 seconds.
I'm just gonna say this real quick, Rabbi. You know, when you said about when Paul was saying, I need to encourage you just a little bit more. I need to show you just a little bit more. And the scripture that came to my mind was, you ran well, but who hindered you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what Paul wanted to make sure, that they wasn't being hindered. They was doing it. After he found out, he was happy. They was all good and everything. You know, he said, but like what you said, we said, I need to teach you a little bit more to sustain you a little bit longer, to keep you going a little bit longer. It's more that you can still learn. It's more that I can still show you. You're doing well right now. You know, I'm glad to hear the report. Timothy brought back the report and everything. Everything is good with y'all. But I need
Hello?
To show you a little bit more. I need to teach you a little bit more. So
that's
the scripture that came to my mind was, you ran well, but who or what hindered you in your running well? You know, because there's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things to come as we talked about before. So That's all I'd like to add. You know, I got these great scholars. I ain't too much more I can add to this.
That's the rabbi.
You'd be surprised what other comments can mean. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
That's right. You're right, sir. You're so right.
We're going down to verse 13. We're going to go ahead, and I know our time is up at 8. So let's go ahead and go through this, and we'll get this thing turned over to our pastor. So verse 9 and verse 10 of Thessalonians chapter 3. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying and sealing that prayer that the people are good, constant prayer that they're going to come through it, constant prayer that they're going to be all right, constant prayer that I can hug you, I can kiss you on the cheek, that I can embrace you in love in the name of Jesus. Night and day praying and seeing that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Always willing to help the people. A genuine love for the people. Everybody has not arrived. Everybody is actually on their way. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has not arrived.
Right.
And nobody has arrived. But everybody is on their way. See, so we have to embrace one another on our journey, on this walk, on the path that God has put us on, and especially pastors and leaders under that pastor have to guide people, teach people, enrich people, encourage people, make them think on their own to have a stabilized life of their own independently of the church, so that they can start the church within them that God is creating in them, that they can walk out and help another brother or a sister. I think sometimes we handicap people that this
Amen.
Ministry is your only ministry. But
wow.
We ought to teach people, inspire people that you know
wow.
what, Pastor, I see an empty building and God has
yes.
laid it on my heart to start a church in that building.
Yes.
And it will be none of
yes.
your congregation going to their church, but it'll be a new congregation.
Right.
And
right.
That's the fruit of labor.
Wow.
That's
mm-hmm.
the fruit of labor. That's how ministries
that's right.
that are truly on the word of God get huge.
Right.
And it's not like you were saying earlier, it's not that, oh, I want a bigger building, I want a lot more. No. If the word of God is truly encouraging people, the foundation is set to learn,
yes.
to teach,
yes.
to love, to have all charity, to have
yes.
a fivefold ministry produces fruit that others can go out and preach and teach and console. And take care of other
wow.
people. See,
great.
We have to be.
That's
we have
great.
To stop handicapping people that if you don't come to my Sunday school session, you ain't gonna get taught by nobody else. You can't do that.
Yes.
First of all, it ain't. But it's God that puts
right.
us in a position to help who? His people.
Right.
His people. So we got to keep that in mind. That in mind, it'll keep us humble.
Amen.
It'll keep us humble. Now, God Himself in verse 11, and we're going to get ready to get out of here. Now, God Himself in verse 11, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. God, please let us get back to these folks. God, please make a way that we can go see your people. Please make a way that we can teach them other things that you have given us to give to them. God, make a way that we can go embrace them and hug them, strengthen them and exhort them, encourage them, that all the afflictions that they have been through are going through, that is nothing, because the faith that they have in you, God, is having them to have the will to keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a way to get back to the people, God. That should
yes.
be any preacher. Give us a way
right.
to get back to people. Because why? We love the people. When you genuinely love something, you cherish it, care of it.
Yep.
Like a husband loves his wife as Jesus loved the church. I've never seen a man, as the Bible said, hate his own flesh.
Come on, come on, come on.
That's right.
Come on.
That's right.
A man of God has to be a genuine lover of people.
I think I heard
your daddy say that one time. A man of God has to be a genuine lover of people even before he knew God.
That's it.
A people person.
Yep. That's
now,
it.
God himself in verse 7, and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord, in verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That's good right there. We could have just read that one and just left it alone. And the Lord made you to increase and abound. See, they were already in love with one another. They was already had love toward one another. They was always already showing brotherly love. They already had the faith. Paul wanted to teach them even more in the faith. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. See, that's genuine love right there. That's genuine. I see.
Yes,
see, some folk got a problem with you out loving, you know, you out loving them. Some folk got a problem with you showing more to another person than they show to you. Some people are envious of others because they show love to others. Some people are envious to others because they do better to others than you do. All that's doing in your face that God has put you in a position to see somebody else doing better than you is for you to do better.
Come on. Come on, Elder.
See? Sometimes we think we're doing good. But see, us as individuals can be taught by anybody. You can have
That's
a
right.
will in your heart, but you can't physically do it like you manifested it in your mind. So God will place you in front of somebody that's doing this thing that you thought of last year. Just like folk that sit up in the church, come every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Friday, whatever the days the door is open, they're there every time. Ain't doing nothing.
Nothing.
But when somebody come in, want to join the church,
mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, they on this board, that board, or pulpit, or they doing something else, you want to get jealous.
Yeah.
But all God is doing is showing you how it's done. All he's doing is showing you that there's work to be done.
Yes.
Yes.
And you shouldn't feel bad about it. You should take the lesson and run with it. Because what God just showed you, that the vision was broke. The vision broke. And it was plain. And you saw it. Now read it and run with it. Write the vision, make it plain. God will put people in your life that you thought of. Something you thought of. That's your vision. That you thought of, and they're making it plain in front of your face, knowing that it can come to fruition, knowing that it can be done. And sometimes we doubt even our own dreams because we think they're too huge for us. If God gave it to you, he'll give you a foundation to make it come through.
Yes.
So stop sitting and getting envious of other folk doing things. Stop doing that. God is just showing you that it can be done. And if you don't want to do it, guess what? It's going to get done. So verse 12, 13, and it will take you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Verse 13, last verse of Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable. Now, this Paul is talking about future right here now. He's talking about, okay, because you stand fast now, you do what you have to do now, you stay in the word of God. Don't worry about the enemy coming in from the left, from the right, from the front, from the back. Don't worry about all that. Stand fast in the faith. We sent Timothy to check on you.
Mm-hmm.
He brought word back that you're standing on the word of God, that you're standing on the gospel that you heard from him, that I was really telling the truth, and my truth is in you on your walk. See, when a man tells the truth to his children, he said that his children abide in what he said. That just let that man, that husband, or that father know that he told the truth. It's confirmation.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul, confirmation. State of mind right now. He's in a confirmation state of mind right now that what he preached, that God had gave him, that the people heard it, they ran with it, and they walking with it right now. There was no stony ground here where the seeds fell. There was no stony ground here where there was Mars. Stony ground here where the people, where the Judaizers and the Jews came in and tried to disturb this church. There wasn't no weeds growing up in this church that strangled the word of God. Right now, they're standing on the word of God that Paul preached, and it's encouragement to that pastor, encouragement to that preacher that he did speak the truth, and he did not bend left, he did not bend right, he didn't add his own words, he could take away from the word of God, but he preached the word of God, he preached the truth of God, and the truth shall make you free. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness, and he's talking about the future right now when Jesus comes back. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and all his saints. So to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable, that you're still walking in faith, that you're still using the Holy Ghost that God gave you to strengthen you, to do the things you need to do for the word of God, for the will of God, in holiness before God. Now, see, we got to present our best as a living sacrifice. You got to, I don't know if it was Galatians or it was in Thessalonians, I think it's in Thessalonians where God said that we have to learn how to possess our vessel. We have to learn how to our vessel. I mean, we have to abstain from the surroundings, corrupt our heart, our way of doing things for the will of God. We have to contain our vessels from fornication, from this, that, and the other. We have to be able to be stable until the end comes, until Jesus breaks that sky and it's over. We have to be stable. Paul is telling, I want you to remain this way. I want you to still do good. I still love one another. And I want you to do it even more. Don't get stale in your doing. Do more.
Amen.
You won't get stale.
Amen.
Every day you get stale. Do more. Do more than you've ever done. Reach out. Reach out. Keep doing. Keep doing. Run out of gas trying to reach somebody. Just go a little bit further. We all got reserve tanks of strength through the Holy Ghost. Reserve tanks.
That's good.
Never tested your reserve tank. Some of us on the main tank get to half full and want to fill up again. Test your reserve one day.
Uh-oh.
And see if you can go a little bit further. Holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And saints, those who listen, I want to thank you for tonight. I didn't know all this was in here. I thank God for it.
That's good.
I thank God for Pastor. I thank God for Elder Taylor. Thank God for Elder Oliver. I know he was probably trying to get through with a comment, but he couldn't. But this was a new meaning tonight, even for me. For me. So it's all yours, sir.
All right. I tell y'all what, he's affectionately known as Rabbi Bluette. That is him, Rabbi Bluette. That's some great teaching on tonight. Doc, at the end, you struck a nerve, and you took me back almost 30 years when you was talking about pastors and you know, ministers and starting your own church, things like that, and seeing a building and different things like that. And my mind went back to 1989. My roots are the Church of God in Christ by way of the United Churches of God in Christ, which was officially established in 1980 by the late Bishop Marshall Carter, which he was ordained and all that in the Church of God in Christ. And my father became a minister and an elder in the Linwood Park Church. This is Bishop Dewey F. Long. He's my stepdad, but he's the one that pretty much that raised me, him and my mother. But in 1989, God had led him. He was riding with my uncle and auntie in the city of Decula. And I think they were cleaning buildings or something, but he was riding through the city which is about 30 minutes from where my home church is in Linwood Park, which is in the Atlanta, the city of Atlanta area. But my father was asleep in the back of the car, and God woke him up and told him that he wanted him to start a ministry, start a church here in this city. My dad didn't even know what the city was. He asked my uncle and auntie where they were at the time, and they told him Decatur, Georgia. He's like, okay, what is telling me? The Lord just woke me up and telling me to start a ministry here. And that was back in 1989. And he didn't, what struck my nerve was when my father obeyed God, he did not disrupt our home church. No doubt he spoke to Bishop Carter, our pastor. You know, he spoke to Papa. We called him Pop and Mother. He spoke to Bishop Carter and got his blessing. Bishop Carter would allow the evangelist team from the Linwood Park Church to come out and help run, you know, revivals, a couple of revivals, and then the national evangelist of the church, of the United Churches of God in Christ, he came out and set up a tent, different things like that. But not one time did my daddy try to disrupt our home church, meaning he didn't try to take musicians. He didn't try to take some of the preachers. He didn't try to take none of the evangelists or none of that. The only ones that left the home church was him, my mother, me, and my baby sister, Shan. Even my older two siblings stayed at our home church. Poochie was almost about grown at the time, and Rena was pretty much grown at the time. They stayed at my home church. Like I'm saying, my daddy, he didn't try to just, you know, let me. And at that time, Linwood Park had, you know, hundreds of members, thousands probably, yes, you know, members, and good music, you know, good organ, Hammond organ, keyboard, guitar players, and all kind of stuff. I mean, we was having good church. But when we left, he only took him, my mother, me, and my baby sister. And I was the drummer at the time. My sister would sing. My mama would sing. And God blessed us because my father left the right way. You know, he had the support of his pastor, and he had the support of the ministry. And Linwood Park would come, even when we was in a church that only held about 50 people, Linwood Park would come and pack the church out, Bishop Carter. They would give. They would be a blessing to my parents and all the deacons and everybody. I mean, it was just, I look back at that now, and that's been over 30 years ago. And you know, I'm just reminded of my daddy didn't have to disrupt. You know, he didn't have to disrupt, and he was always submissive to his pastor. Even when he became bishop, he was still submissive and honored his pastor, which was, like I said, Bishop Carter. And our church grew from four original members to, at its height, it probably had over 400 members in the city of Decatur, where back then it wasn't that many black folk in Decatur. Decatur is running over with black folk now, but back in the late 80s, it wasn't none but a few black folk there. And even to this day, my father's church, is this church that he started, is still going forth. And Elder Pastor Leonard Tate, and First Lady Cynthia Tate, they have carried on the church that my father established. So it means a lot. You know, you can't expect God to bless mess. That's the bottom line. You know, a lot of things we have done, and we just think because we God to it, we think that God establishes it. So, you know, that does not necessarily always mean that. But you spoke something that just triggered my mind to go back over 30 years on how we established and we left, you know, what we feel was the right way, in good standings with Bishop Carter and Mother Carter and the Linwood Park Church. And my dad, he stayed with the organization. He stayed with the organization, the United Churches of God in Christ, up until, I think, 2007. Bishop Carter died in 2003. And then a lot of political stuff began to happen, you know, politics and things like that began to happen, and he eventually pulled out. So, but tonight, I'm just grateful again for Elder Bluett and our leadership team. I'm just thankful that, as I stated, God has surrounded me with such a great group of men and women that stands on his word. And listen, we're not going to hold you up. I know the rabbi and John the Baptist, they really went forth on tonight. And we also, we thank God for Mark, St. Mark. That's Elder Derek Oliver. We giving out names. Elder Derek Oliver is St. Mark. We just thank God. I am so honored and pleased. Thank God for my precious wife being on. Listen, meet us back here Friday night at 7 o'clock with Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Meet us back here at 7 o'clock. There is a word from the Lord. We thank you so much. Thank you so much for the love and support, those on our Chaos Blog Talk Radio. Praise Tabernacle, we love you. We appreciate you. And as Elder Bluette told us on the night, let's make sure we're calling each other. Most of you, if not all, can say I've reached out. We've been reaching out, texting and calling. And most of you, I see every service, every Friday and Sunday, and we talk with you. And we're so grateful, so glad for the great news that we heard about Sister Asha Bluette and God touching her body.
Yes.
And we believe in God that he's going to complete it at 100%, that she'll be better than she was before. And we thank God. So, Father in heaven,
yes,
we thank
sir.
You again. Thank you for this night. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this great Bible study we had on tonight, challenging us, challenging the leaders to teach and to stick with each other and love each other and honor your people and stick with sound doctrine. Also, what we learned tonight about the people holding on steadfastly to what been taught, what they have received from the leadership. And God, as we leave this place, but never your presence, Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God bless you.
Amen.